we can make an about face. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. This is the Daily Show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today's Monday, so we'll read from one of the books of the law. We're in the book of Numbers, and we'll read chapters 21 through 24. After the reading, I'll have some comments, and of course, I'll have an On This Date in Church History, and we have a prayer request today. So, I'm calling today's episode, Don't Be Too Eager. The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E264, which means there are just 100 remaining days to this season of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's get started. Numbers chapter 21. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Ijah-Abarim in the wilderness which is before Moab toward the sunrising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coasts of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. And at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer. That is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Mattanah. And from Mattanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley, that is the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well. But we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together, and went out against Israel into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword, and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his hand, even unto Arnon. Wherefore they that speak in Proverbs say, Come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared. For there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It hath consumed Ar of Moab, and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab! Thou art undone, O people of Chemosh! He hath given his sons that escaped, and his daughters, into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished, even unto Dibon. And we have laid them waste, even unto Nopha, which reacheth unto Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. And Moses sent to spy out Jazer. And they took the villages thereof, and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, Fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people, and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him, and his sons, and all his people, until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. Numbers chapter 22. Israel moved from there to the hills of Moab, where they camped across the Jordan River from the town of Jericho. When King Balak of Moab and his people heard how many Israelites there were, and what they had done to the Amorites, he and the Moabites were terrified and panicked. They said to the Midianite leaders, That huge mob of Israelites will wipe out everything in sight, like a bull eating grass in a field. So King Balak sent a message to Balaam, son of Beor, who lived among his relatives in the town of Pethor, near the Euphrates River. It said, I need your help. A large group of people has come here from Egypt and settled near my territory. They're too powerful for us to defeat. So would you come and place a curse on them? Maybe then we can run them off. I know that anyone you bless will be successful, but anyone you curse will fail. The leaders of Moab and Midian left and took along money to pay Balaam. When they got to his house, they gave him Balak's message. Spend the night here, Balaam replied, and tomorrow I will tell you the Lord's answer. So the official stayed at his house. During the night, God asked Balaam, Who are these people at your house? They're messengers from King Balak of Moab, Balaam answered. He sent them to ask me to go to Moab and put a curse on the people who have come there from Egypt. They have settled everywhere around him, and he wants to run them off. But God replied, Don't go with Balak's messengers. I have blessed those people who have come from Egypt, so don't curse them. The next morning, Balaam said to Balak's officials, Go on back home. The Lord says I cannot go with you. The officials left and told Balak that Balaam refused to come. Then Balak sent a larger group of officials, who were even more important than the first ones. They went to Balaam and told him that Balak had said, Balaam, if you come to Moab, I'll pay you very well and do whatever you ask. Just come and place a curse on these people. Balaam answered, Even if Balak offered me a palace full of silver or gold, I wouldn't do anything to disobey the Lord my God. You're welcome to spend the night here, just as the others did. I will find out if the Lord has something else to say about this. That night, God said, Balaam, I'll let you go to Moab with Balak's messengers, but do only what I say. So Balaam got up the next morning and saddled his donkey, then left with the Moabite officials. Balaam was riding his donkey to Moab, and two of his servants were with him. But God was angry that Balaam had gone, so one of the Lord's angels stood in the road to stop him. When Balaam's donkey saw the angel standing there with a sword, it walked off the road and into an open field. Balaam had to beat the donkey to get it back on the road. Then the angel stood between two vineyards, in a narrow path with a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the angel, it walked so close to one of the walls that Balaam's foot scraped against the wall. Balaam beat the donkey again. The angel moved once more and stood in a spot so narrow that there was no room for the donkey to go around, so it just lay down. Balaam lost his temper, then picked up a stick and whacked the donkey. When that happened, the Lord told the donkey to speak. And it asked Balaam, What have I done that made you beat me three times? You make me look stupid, Balaam answered. If I had a sword, I'd kill you here and now. But you're my owner, answered the donkey, and you've ridden me many times. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. Just then, the Lord let Balaam see the angel standing in the road, holding a sword, and Balaam bowed down. The angel said, You had no right to treat your donkey like that. I was the one who blocked your way because I don't think you should go to Moab. If your donkey had not seen me and stopped those 3 times, I would have killed you and let the donkey live." Balaam replied, "I was wrong. I didn't know you were trying to stop me. If you don't think I should go, I'll return home at once." "It's all right for you to go," the Lord's angel answered, "but you must say only what I tell you." So Balaam went on with Balak's officials. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went to meet him at the town of Ir on the Arnon River, which is the northern border of Moab. Balak asked, "Why didn't you come when I invited you the first time? Did you think I wasn't going to pay you?" "I'm here now," Balaam answered, "but I will say only what God tells me to say." They left and went to the town of Kiriath Huzoth, where Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and gave some of the meat to Balaam and the officials who were with him. The next morning, Balak took Balaam to the town of Bamoth Baal. From there, Balaam could see some of the Israelites. Numbers chapter 23. Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did what Balaam told him, and the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your burnt offering while I'm gone. Maybe the Lord will come and meet with me. I will tell you whatever he reveals to me." Then Balaam went off to a higher place where there were no trees. God came to him, and Balaam said, "I have set up 7 altars, and I offered a bull and a ram on each altar." The Lord told Balaam, "Go back to Balak and give him my message." So he went back to Balak and found him standing beside his burnt offering with all the princes of Moab. Then Balaam delivered this message: "Balak brought me from Aram. The king of Moab summoned me from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me," he said. "Come, condemn Israel. How can I curse those whom God hasn't cursed? How can I condemn those whom the Lord hasn't condemned? I see them from the top of rocky cliffs. I look at them from the hills. I see a nation that lives by itself, people who do not consider themselves to be like other nations. The descendants of Jacob are like specks of dust. Who can count them or number even 1/4 of the people of Israel? Let me die the death of innocent people. Let my end be like theirs." Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you here to curse my enemies, but all you've done is bless them." Balaam answered, "I must say what the Lord tells me to say." Then Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place where you can see the Israelites. You will see only some of them, not all of them. Curse them for me from there." So he took him to the field of Zophim on the top of Mount Pisgah, where he built 7 altars. He offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your burnt offering while I meet with God over there." The Lord came to Balaam and told him, "Go back to Balak and give him my message." He came to Balak and found him standing beside his burnt offering with the princes of Moab. Balak asked him, "What did the Lord say?" Then Balaam delivered this message: "Stand up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not like people. He tells no lies. He is not like humans. He doesn't change his mind. When he says something, he does it. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I can't change it. He doesn't want any trouble for the descendants of Jacob. He sees no misfortune for the people of Israel. The Lord their God is with them, praised is their king. The God who brought them out of Egypt has the strength of a wild bull. No spell can curse the descendants of Jacob. No magic can harm the people of Israel. Now it will be said of Jacob and Israel, 'See what God has done.' Here is a nation that attacks like a lioness and is as ferocious as a lion. It doesn't lie down until it eats its prey and drinks the blood of its victim." Balak said to Balaam, "If you won't curse them, then at least don't bless them." Balaam answered, "Didn't I tell you that I must do whatever the Lord says?" Balak said to Balaam, "Come, let me take you to another place. Maybe God wants you to curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Mount Peor, which overlooks Jeshimon. Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did what Balaam told him, and he offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Numbers chapter 24. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. He took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down, yet having his eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel! Like valleys that stretch out, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horns of the wild ox. He will devour the nations who are his adversaries, and will crush their bones in pieces, and shatter them with his arrows. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you." Then Balak's anger turned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, "I called you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have persisted in blessing them these three times. Therefore, flee to your place now. I said I would honor you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor." Balaam said to Balak, "Did I not tell your messengers whom you had sent to me, saying, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything contrary to the command of the Lord, either good or bad, of my own accord? What the Lord speaks, that will I speak. And now, behold, I am going to my people. Come, and I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the days to come." He took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eye is opened. The oracle of him who hears the words of God, and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down, yet having his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be a possession. Seir, its enemies, also will be a possession, while Israel performs valiantly. One from Jacob shall have dominion, and will destroy the remnant from the city." And he looked at Amalek, and took up his discourse, and said, "Amalek was the first of the nations, but his end shall be destruction." And he looked at the Kenite, and took up his discourse, and said, "Your dwelling place is enduring, and your nest is set in the cliff. Nevertheless, Cain will be consumed. How long will Azer keep you captive?" Then he took up his discourse and said, "Alas, who can live except God has ordained it? But ships shall come from the coast of Kittim, and they shall afflict Azer and will afflict Eber, so they also will come to destruction." Then Balaam arose and departed and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way.
If this were Sesame Street, I would say that today's chapter from Numbers was brought to you by...
Hello there, me, Cookie Monster, and once again, me introduce letter of day, haha. It be, yeah, like in word, beautiful.
Oh. And Balaam, Balak, Bamoth Baal, and Beor. Now getting serious, what do you think about the situation with Balaam? And God at first denying him permission to go see Balak, and then telling him it was okay to go, and after that, being mad that he did go. Were you confused by that? Is God a capricious God? Well, of course not. But I was confused too, so I did some digging, and this is what I found. Balak sent messengers first to ask Balaam to come and curse the Israelites. But God told Balaam not to go, since he, God, had blessed them. So Balak sent even more distinguished messengers with the additional message that he would confer great honor upon Balaam, and in so doing, Balak was really trying to bribe Balaam. And it looks like maybe Balaam was tempted somewhat, even though he said with his lips that even if Balak gave him enough silver and gold to fill a house, he could not do anything against what God had told him. But he told the messengers that he would see if God had anything else to say on the matter. Well, this seems to be the crux. God told Balaam that the people were blessed, Why would Balaam expect that God would say anything different about cursing people whom he had blessed? Now, this is what God said to Balaam. The version we read today and many other versions really don't convey the original meaning. In the Hebrew, what God said was, "If the men come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only say what I tell you to say." Well, let's stop here for a moment, and this is an important point. God allows us to do many things that He does not endorse, right? Sometimes He'll allow us to succumb to our own wicked and lustful hearts. He allows us, in effect, to touch the hot stove to see that it will burn us. I can imagine Balaam laying in his bed that night, thinking how cool it was that these important visitors had come into his humble home. He felt important, and I can also imagine him laying there fantasizing about the honors that Balak would bestow on him once he arrived, and maybe he got to thinking, no, I think he definitely got to thinking about the palace full of silver and gold. So in the morning, what happened was, remember, God said, "If they come to call you." But instead of Balaam waiting for the guys to come show up to get him, the word tells us that in the morning, he got up and went. He didn't wait for them to get him. Balaam was too eager. He wanted to get his hands on the treasure Balak promised him. So he did not follow God's instruction. Remember, the reason that Balak sent for Balaam was so that Balaam would come and curse the Israelites, God's chosen people. Well, God doesn't look with favor upon those who conspire to harm His people or those who seek to gain favor with those who conspire to harm His people. So that's why God became angry at Balaam. Does that help? Now, let's move on to Numbers 24. Balaam once again disappointed Balak. I guess in a way, you kind of have to hand it to Balak. He wasn't one to give up easily. And it is also good to see that despite the inauspicious beginning of his time with Balak, Balaam was faithful to what God told him to say. There is a good lesson to learn from this. How many times do we sin and then feel as if because of that sin we can't be a useful instrument for God? We might even think that since others saw our sin, our credibility is completely ruined. Well, here in these few chapters of Numbers, we see that that is not the case. We can make an about-face. We can turn in the right direction and continue walking with God. And we can go on to be a voice for Him and be effective. Don't let the enemy of your soul steal away the blessing of following after God and doing His will just because you stumble. If we'll confess our failure to God, He will forgive us. He can and He will use us for His glory. Remember, every person we've read about or will read about in God's Word, except for Jesus, was imperfect. Every one of them failed at one time or another, and some of them failed multiple times. And still, God accomplished His will through them, despite their failings, when they seek His forgiveness and follow Him. He will do the same with you if you don't give up and give in. If you have a comment, I'd sure like to hear it. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E264 and let me know. Tomorrow, we'll begin the book of 2 Chronicles with chapters 1 through 5. King David has died, and now his son Solomon begins his reign.
Boost!
Timothy LaFontaine came in with his monthly $20 associate producer donation. Thank you, Tim. God bless you. I appreciate your support. If you find value in the show, please go to lifespringmedia.com/support. You can sign up for a weekly, monthly, quarterly donation, whatever makes sense to you and whatever God leads you to do. Regardless of the amount, your support helps to make this show possible. lifespringmedia.com/support. On this date in church history, May 23, 1974, Russian Orthodox liturgical scholar Alexander Schmemann reflected in his journal, "The most important question is, how does objective faith become subjective? How does it grow in the heart to become a personal faith? When do common words become one's own? The faith of the church, the faith of the fathers, comes alive only when it is my own." That's true. Faith doesn't matter if it's someone else's faith. It has to be your faith. Prayer requests. Yesterday, a very good friend of mine told me about another of his friends who has a son in his early 20s who has bipolar disorder. This is a terrible disease. I've known other people, too, with family members who suffer from this, and when someone close to you has it, you become aware that it really does affect the whole family. So let's pray for this family. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. You've made your will very clear to us as to how to please you, and we reaffirm now that we do want to stay within it. We don't want to push the boundaries as Balaam did. Hold us close to you, Lord, and please forgive us when we fail. I pray for this young man with bipolar disorder and his family, and I ask you to heal him. Balance his brain chemistry or whatever is causing this heartbreaking illness, and help his family as they do what they can to help him. I thank you for the LifeSpring family, Lord, and I ask that you bless them today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Send in your prayer requests and your praises to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Share the show. Don't hide it under a bushel. Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E264. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to the team, Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise for their hard work. Thanks to associate producer Timothy LaFontaine for his support of the show. And you can support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. Thank you for sharing your time with me today. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.